three verses this evening, Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, and we'll commence to read at verse 18. Mark 2, reading from verse 18. God's Word says, "Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, 'Why did John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?' And Jesus said to them, 'Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day.'" Amen. We've had a bit of a wedding boom in the church over the past few months, lots and lots of engagements. There's at least four weddings here in the church next year in 2015, and we'll gladly accept other weddings if anybody has that in their mind to pop the question over the next weeks or months as well. Weddings are great occasions, mostly. Weddings are great. They're enjoyable times full of smiles, tears of joy, not of sadness, full of laughter as well. And the most important thing about a wedding, of course, is the good food you get at the reception. But as we continue here in this series, who is Jesus Christ? We've seen over the past few weeks who Mark tells us who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. Last week, as we looked at an earlier passage in chapter 2, we saw that Jesus is the friend of sinners. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for those who are sinners. Tonight, as we look at these three verses, we'll see that Jesus Christ is somebody who brings joy. He brings real joy, the kind of joy that you'd associate with a good wedding. Now, the Pharisees weren't happy with Jesus Christ. He was causing them lots and lots of problems. They couldn't cope with him. And because they couldn't cope with Jesus, they were trying to find fault in him. They weren't happy with what he said earlier in this chapter when he spoke to the paralyzed man, when he forgave the man his sins. They couldn't cope with that, so they didn't like what he said. They didn't like who Jesus Christ socialized with last week, that he sat down with Levi and tax collectors and sinners in their eyes. And here in this passage, they don't like the fact that Jesus and his disciples are eating when they are not eating, when they are fasting. Look at verse 18 again. "Why did John's disciples and disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" See, Jews were expected to fast, but they were only expected to fast one day in the year. On the Day of Atonement, that annual feast that Jews would celebrate, Jews were expected to fast. But the Pharisees were much stricter than that. In fact, they made their own rules, and they actually fasted twice a week. Every Monday and every Thursday, they would fast. They took great pride in this, because it made them look really pious. It made them look holier than everybody else, who only fasted one day in the year. And so they come to Jesus with this devious question: why are you not fasting, your followers not fasting, when we are? Now, they're probably not seeking an answer to the question. The aim is really to make Jesus look bad. Look what your followers are doing compared to us. We are so much more pious and holier than you are. How can you enjoy a feast when other holy people are fasting at the same time? But Jesus answers them. And as he answers their question, he actually crushes their argument because they've got it all wrong. And he uses an illustration from a wedding. In Bible times, fasting was often associated with funerals. Weddings were very different. You didn't fast at a wedding. Weddings were associated with great joy. Look at verse 19. "And Jesus said to them, 'Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast.'" Jewish weddings were joyous occasions. They knew how to do a wedding properly. Those people who are engaged tonight, take some notes. In Bible times, a Jewish wedding would have lasted for 7 whole days. Imagine paying the bill for that. And over these 7 days, there was an abundance of food and wine. There was music, there was dancing. It was a time of great joy and happiness. Any thought of fasting was totally out of the question at one of these joyous events. And here in this illustration, Jesus compares himself to a bridegroom. That's a common New Testament image, illustration. A number of places Jesus is compared to the bridegroom. And the church, his followers, are compared to being the bride. He says, how can you fast when I, the bridegroom, am amongst you? That's not a time for fasting. That's a time for joyous celebration. Because Jesus Christ is somebody who brings real joy. The coming of Jesus Christ into the world brought great joy. The night when Jesus Christ was born, an angel appeared to shepherds on the hillside outside of Bethlehem, and he came with this message. He said, I bring you great news of great joy. The birth of Jesus Christ, of Jesus coming into the world, brought joy. And the whole way through his ministry, Jesus Christ brought joy into people's lives. People who really realized who he was and had an encounter. And so we think of another tax collector, Zacchaeus, up a tree. And he has an encounter with Jesus Christ. And I love the way that Luke's gospel describes it. It says that Zacchaeus hurried down and received Jesus joyfully. He met Jesus and it brought joy into his heart. Jesus' whole ministry was marked by joy. And while he remained here on earth, it was inappropriate for his followers to fast. Verse 19 again. Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But Jesus alludes to a time when he would actually leave them. Look at verse 20. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. It's as if he's speaking of his death that's imminent, speaking of his return to heaven as well. That there would be a time of fasting. Now, for us who are Christians this evening, Jesus Christ brings real joy into our hearts and into our lives. Now, we're not talking about happiness here. Happiness is something that fluctuates with our moods. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad. It's up and down no matter what happens in life. Joy is something different. It's deeper and it's meaningful. It's actually one of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy. That God's Holy Spirit, that Christ lives in you through the Holy Spirit. It's evidence that you're a believer, that you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. It's the mark of a Christian. And joy is there even when life is difficult. We saw that on Wednesday night, those of us who were doing the Bible study, James 1, count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds. The joy doesn't come from the difficult situations. The joy comes from what Christ is doing through those, making us perfect and complete and using our situations to make us more like his perfect Son, Jesus Christ. See, as believers, we're not forced to make a fake smile, but joy is something deep, and it's deep in our heart that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. And yet, we are separated from Christ. We're separated from Christ at the moment as we live as Christians here on earth. Life is not yet as it one day will be. And so at the moment, as we are separated from Christ who's in heaven, it is appropriate at times for believers to fast. It's an appropriate thing. It's a biblical, spiritual discipline. Fasting is something we do in our life at times, and often we should do it more often than we actually do. It gives us an opportunity to focus on Jesus Christ, to pray, a time of devotion, a time of strengthening our faith in Jesus. But one day, the bridegroom will come again. And when the bridegroom comes again, we will be united with him. We, the church, the bride, will be united with the bridegroom. And what will that day be? It will be a day of joy, a day of complete joy. We experience joy now from knowing Jesus Christ in our hearts and our lives, but that is only a shadow of the joy that one day we will experience when we are with Christ forever and ever. And when we are in heaven, there'll be no fasting. There's no need for fasting in heaven. In fact, the Bible talks about the complete opposite. It talks about a great feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb, when the bridegroom and the bride are united together, a time of great joy that will last forever and ever. So who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is somebody who brings joy. But let me ask you this evening, do you know this joy? Do you know this joy the Bible speaks about? Maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ in your heart, in your life. Maybe you're not a true believer. Maybe you might call yourself one, but you know nothing of this joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. There's a parable, a kingdom parable in Matthew's gospel. I shared it a few weeks ago. It's about a man who found a treasure in a field. And when he saw this treasure, it captivated his heart. And the Bible says he went and he sold everything he had. And then in his joy, he went and he claimed the field and he claimed the treasure for himself. What is the treasure? The treasure is Jesus Christ. And when you encounter Jesus Christ in your life, it gives you a joy deep down your heart. There was Zacchaeus. the sinful man up a tree, and he encountered Jesus, and he climbed down, and he received him joyfully. If you're not a Christian this evening, realize who Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of God. He's the friend of sinners, and he's the friend of sinners who died on a cross to be the Savior of sinners as well. And he did that for you because he loves you. And if you realize that tonight, receive him joyfully and experience a joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. But sadly, we do at times encounter people who are miserable Christians. Maybe you're one of those tonight, a miserable Christian. That's actually an oxymoron. An oxymoron is two words that don't go together. Miserable and Christian are two things that shouldn't go together. There's something seriously wrong in your heart and in your walk with the Lord if you are a miserable Christian. You've wandered away. You've become distant. You've become cold in your walk. Because Christ is somebody who brings joy, even in trials, even in difficult circumstances. Doesn't mean life will be easy. Doesn't mean that you'll have a constant smile on your face. But there's this assurance and the joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ, of having the Holy Spirit in your heart and your life. If you feel like a miserable Christian here this evening, if you've lost that joy, if things have gone cold in your life, you need to come back and rediscover that joy. Psalm 51 is David's psalm of confession. David was a man after God's own heart, but he had sinned. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And because of his sin, his relationship with God had been broken, and he felt distant. And that joy had gone. And Psalm 51 is his psalm of confession. And in Psalm 51, you'll find these words. He prays to God and he says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Do you know that joy? I've lost it. I've lost it because of the way I've lived my life. But he confesses it and he says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." If you're a miserable Christian here this evening, you make that your prayer. Confess your sin, bring it to Christ, and say, "Restore unto me the joy I have in my heart when I first encountered Christ. Restore that into my heart." And when we're joyful, we'll want to share what Christ has done in us when we're walking with the Lord. It's great to see these girls and guys who've got engaged in the church recently. And as I walk about, I just see them with big smiles on their faces. They're talking about it. People are asking them questions and they're just full of it. Why? Because there's a joy there. They're getting married. They're excited about it. And they want to talk about it. And that's the same when you're a Christian. When you have this joy, you don't need to be prompted to go and share your faith. You don't need to be trained how to do it. There's a place for training. But it's a joy that just keeps your lips open. You want to share it with other people. And so if you've lost your passion for sharing Christ with others, maybe you need to pray that as well. Restore unto me the joy. And when you get that joy in your heart, you'll want to share Christ with other people as well. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is somebody who brings real joy. He's the Son of God. He's the friend of sinners. And he's the one who makes a difference in people's lives.